In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the divine life. Luisa, and this divine life that our God wants us to enter into. We remember John Paul II saying very, very clearly that this new and divine way of holiness is going to come for humanity. And what is this new and divine way of holiness? It's that which hasn't been seen in fallen human nature. Even though we have been redeemed, we're not living that divine life that Adam had before the fall. And so our God is getting us ready for this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. And where we're starting today is volume 12, January 4th, 1919. And the beauty of this gift is so astonishing that our Lord is asking us to really read and study this, to get ready for what he has planned. And this new and divine way of holiness is found in Luisa, and our God wants us to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, this life of heaven on earth before we die. And so Jesus says that the resurrection that he had, which he now wants to give to us, is this resurrection, is the life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that we're supposed to begin to live. So he says, I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to wait until you die to be resurrected. He says, I want you to be resurrected now. And he says this basically with the young man who was, who died, the only son of a widowed mother. And he went and he touched the litter and he says, this is what I'm going to do for humanity. I'm going to bring humanity to life. We're still in that fallen state where our bodies have to die. Our bodies have to die. Because this is the body that our God wants to give us. This is why we say we believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that we're going to receive this glorified body. So Jesus wants us to begin to live this life before we even get the body. He says, I want you to practice this. I want you to live this. This is why he says the great chastisements that's coming upon the earth. He says the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children in the holy divine will. He says, well, no harm can come to them. So in volume 12, January 4th, 1919, and Jesus prays, my Father, accept the sacrifice of this daughter of mine, Luisa Picaretta. So we learn that what Jesus has given, what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has given to Luisa is to sacrifice her life. Volume one is difficult to read at first because you see God taking this newborn and basically it's like clay, a potter's clay. You know, it's not right yet. So he crushes it down to rebuild a new object, that's what the potter does. And this is what Jesus has done with Luisa. This is what's really hard to read. She went through great sufferings. And Jesus says that he finally found a soul who would allow God to do this. And you look at all the lives of the saints. They're beautiful lives, powerful lives. And yet Jesus says, I finally found one who would allow me to do what I want, when I want, and how I want to bring about a new beginning. So he says, Heavenly Father, accept the sacrifice of this daughter of mine. Oh, please, Father, accept it. Unite it to the pain which I suffered on the cross. And Our Lady with Jesus at the cross, his heart was pierced in two. Our Lady's heart was split in two, just like his. Watching her beloved son, the son of God, dying on the cross, watching humanity torturing her son. So he says, united to the pain which I suffered on the cross. See, the sufferings that we go through, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional sufferings that we go through, are to make us more like Jesus, more like Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And suffering isn't you because you want pain. Suffering is to make amends for not only your own sins, but for all of humanity. So when we experience suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, we begin to turn to Jesus and say, thank you that I can suffer a slightly compared to what, the way you suffered, the way Our Lady suffered. Jesus says the greatest suffering that he had on the cross, he says, when I was abandoned, even by you, Heavenly Father, concede the privation, this separation that Louisa would have with Jesus every day that she feels of me. Be light, be knowledge, be divine life in other souls because of what Louisa has gone through. And all that I myself pleaded with my abandonment. So here, this fusion, if you want to say, of Jesus and Louisa is what we pray for every day at with our prevening act, to be fused with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Accept it, accept this suffering, unite it to the pain Jesus suffered on the cross when he was abandoned by the Father. This was the death. This is where Jesus experienced the death, being separated from his Father, a thing that a God who cannot die died. I mean, he really experienced the life of the Father leaving him, gone from him. And then he says, concede that the privation that Louisa goes through, because like I mentioned before, this is not like anything that the saints went through. There are similarities, like when we look at the ecstasy of St. Teresa of Avila, the ecstasy of St. Catherine of Siena, the St. Ecstasy of Teresa and Catherine, other saints who have gone through this privation, if you want to say, of Jesus and falling more in love with God, can see that this privation, the suffering that Louisa feels of me, Jesus being the light, being the knowledge, being the divine life, now will be in other souls because of her suffering. May other souls now be able to have what she longs for, what she looks for. And so she's gone through the suffering. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, they're the three that suffered the most. And then all of myself, all that I myself pleaded with my abandonment, Father, you know, being separated from the Father. So this suffering that's gone on with Jesus, Mary, and now with Louisa has basically, it was like the ticket to begin to live heaven. They went through this. A lot of people say, well, they can't read volume one because they say, I don't want to go through this. Again, Louisa went through it for us as Jesus went through it for on the cross, Our Lady with Christ crucified on Calvary. And now Louisa, the three, Jesus, Mary, and the newborn Louisa went through this suffering for our benefit so that we can begin to live heaven on earth. So the little suffering that we go through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering that we go through, that little suffering can't even compare to what Jesus and Mary went through, can't compare to what Louisa went through. We're going to see the saints say, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a crucified God who's alive, who's back from the dead, who's resurrected so that we can be resurrected from our fallen nature to re-enter into that divine nature, that divine life that Adam had before the fall. The Ruah of God, that breath of God that breathed into the dust, that brought out of the dust the image and likeness of God. This is where we're supposed to live. So Jesus and Mary at Calvary, and now 2,000 years later, Louisa being crucified every day, especially her abandonment she felt abandoned by Jesus when she didn't see him. She says, I'm not alive. I can't breathe. I can't, my heart doesn't beat. I can't exist without you. Which one of us are like that? We're very far from that. And yet she could not live without this life of Jesus, where she could see this life, be with this life, be in the presence of this life. And so now Jesus is showing us, because of what she went through, now other souls, us, hopefully, it's us, now can begin to live this life. So each act that you do, and we have to remember this, is like another Adam that's added to your soul. Adam to this life, this abundant life that our God wants us to possess. So when somebody says to me, I'm living fully in the divine will, I go, it takes a lifetime and all eternity to begin to live this fullness, because every thought, every word, every deed that you do in the divine will is a life that lasts forever. And it's added to our, which one would you want to say, our glorified body that's coming. It's a new beginning, a new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II prophesied. So volume 12, March 3rd, 1919, Jesus says, it is my will that destroys the human in you, the human will in us. When Adam said, basically to God, I'm going to obey Eve and not you, Lord. I'm going to obey Eve, who was seduced by the evil one. That human will became alive, and it took the place of God's holy divine will. It was God's holy divine will was thrown out. And ever since then, we've been in the fallen nature. Jesus came 2,000 years ago with his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, to redeem us. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. Now is the time to return to that life that God breathed into the dust. And that's why he says to Louisa, every word that I speak to you is a puff of this life. It's the beginning. It's a new beginning for all of humanity because of what Jesus and Mary have done. And now the newborn Louisa. So it is my divine will that destroys the human will in you, Louisa. Instead of fearing, and a lot of people go, I want what I want. You know, a lot of people are afraid of what you have or what you think you have is taken away from you. He says, instead of fearing, you should fling yourself into the immensity of my divine will. Dive into this infinite ocean of love. See, I hear often from somebody, from many people, you know, prove it. I want to see the proof. I want to see the proof. And the proof is faith. And faith is, you can't see. Faith is, I believe this is what Jesus wants. I know in my heart this is what Jesus wants. And as you read, as you continue to read, that faith becomes stronger. And like he said, what did he say to Louisa? He says, he is the light in this darkness that we're in. He is the knowledge. He is the truth in this life that we're living in. He is the divine life that he wants to breathe in humanity again, going back into that new and divine way of holiness, which is not new at all. It's what God did with Adam, but it's new for us because it's foreign to us. So he said, instead of being afraid, fling yourself into this divine immensity of my divine will. So when we read volume 1 through volume 10, you learn how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. When you read volume 11 through volume 19, you learn how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just the beginning. He says to say yes to the divine will, you conceive Jesus in your heart. He becomes alive in you. He becomes your king, your master, your savior. You're everything. You're God. And he says, and then every act that you do is another Adam added to this conception. And with Louisa, it took 70 years of reading, studying, and putting into practice. That's basically all she did for those 70 years, learning what this is about. And then towards the end, for the last 9 years, basically, where she lived a peaceful, joyful life, but this Jesus appearing to her as he did for those 70 years was waning because Jesus says, now live it. You have enough, live it. You're the firstborn, you're the newborn, live this life. Dive into this infinite ocean of love. Enter into receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. So Jesus says, to Louisa and to us, my designs upon you are high. My designs upon you are noble. My designs upon you are divine. See, what does St. Peter say in this epistle? We are alive to be divinized, to divinize, to enter into this divine. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to breathe in this divine, I love you. So he says, it's not about being a saint. He says, this is not about becoming a saint. That's volume 1 through volume 10. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus, following his holy humanity on the outside. Now he says, I want you to live the divine life on the inside of Jesus. My designs upon you, Louisa, and your children are high, are noble, are divine. This is why when you begin to read the divine will, and it's so beautiful, it's so magnificent. And all that our Lord is asking is, are you willing to say yes, as Louisa did? Are you willing to say, yes, I want this. I believe this to be true. See, when you read the divine will, God could do nothing greater than what he gave to Louisa, sharing in divinity. This is why he created Adam. He breathed into the dust, the Ruach of God, the breath of God, that spirit of God. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. High, noble, divine. So he says, the very work of creation, oh, how it remains behind. All that you see in the universe, all that you see on earth, the very work of creation, the fiat lux, how it remains behind the work, this divine work of Jesus saying, calling you to live in the divine will, to live not a human, but to live a divine life. Think about that. You don't become gods. But why did God create us? He says, because I want to share my divinity with you. That drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day, that drop of water becomes wine. It fuses and diffuses. That's what we're learning. We're learning how to fuse ourselves. We're learning how to let the divine will diffuse in us. How? Through what Jesus taught Louisa. He says, the very work of creation can't compare to creation of Adam. It can't compare to that. Why? Adam is the creature where God dwells. Adam, well, he created Adam and all his children in the future to begin to possess this life, and they lost it. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve to begin again where Adam failed. And now they have the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will. And this is what our Lord is asking of us. He says, are you willing to let go of everything that is human to embrace the divine? That's why at the end of your prayer, your prevenient act, you should be saying, I want nothing more of earth. I only want that of heaven. See, all that's coming the way of the world, if we're hoarding the things of the world, it's all going to turn to dust. Our life is with God. That's our life. And we have been separated from that unity, that fusion, that oneness with God because of the fall of Adam. And yes, Jesus came to redeem us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him on Calvary. And now the newborn is here. And now Jesus says, what I'm going to give to Louisa, I'm going to give to all of humanity if you wish. He says very clearly, the divine will is for all of humanity. But he says, in reality, it's for those, only for those who want it. Now, how do you prove that you want it? Just by saying, yes, I love the divine will. I want the divine will. That's the beginning. That's the conception, Jesus says, of him in your heart. But then he says, I want you to enter into the acts that Jesus and Mary have done. I want you to enter into the new Adam and the new Eve, that life that they breathed into Louisa. So what do we do? Jesus teaches us is to let, we want to do and redo everything that Jesus has done. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I want you to breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. I want you to beat in my heart beating. Jesus, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. I want to praise you with your praise, Jesus. I want to praise the Heavenly Father as you praise the Heavenly Father. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, I want this explosion of I love yous going to the throne of God. Our gift that God is giving us, there's no end to it. What God is going to do is he's going to breathe in our breathing because he takes us at our word. So when you say, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, and you take a breath, that is Jesus doing it. It seems like you're doing it. It feels like you're doing it. But Jesus says, I am doing it. I take you at your word. You want this? I will do this. He loves us so much. He says, this very work of creation, it remains behind this work that God has given to this newborn, Louisa Picaretta. He says, and now I want to give it to those who are reading this book. As I taught Louisa, Jesus says, I will teach you. So as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, everything in our life changes. Everything, all our desires change, all our affections change, all our love changes because it's not human love anymore. Jesus, love in my loving, breathe in my heart beating, a desire in my desiring. I don't want anything that's human. Do you see why this is a new and divine way of holiness? See, the saints, Jesus said, always did something for themselves. I'm going to build a church for God that I can live in. I'm going to build an orphanage for God so I can bring people in so I could work there. There was always that, so I can do something. I can participate in doing the will of God. But living in the will of God, Jesus says, I want you to get out of the way as I originally planned so that I can reign in you, so that you can participate in this sharing in divinity. So he says, I'm calling you to live in the divine will, to live not a human, but a divine life. This is a greater outpouring of my love. It is my love constrained by creatures. So Jesus says, you're not letting me as God do what I have planned. You're constraining what I'm doing. You're not saying yes. You're saying, well, I gotta have the proof of this. I'm gonna think about it a little more. I'm gonna decide. And Jesus looks at us and he says, why aren't you more like my mother? When the angel came, she didn't go, wait a minute, I'm, you know, 16 years old. I'm going to get married. I'm going to live in Nazareth. You know, everything's going to be fine. She says, how can I do this? I've already promised, vowed a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. I'm not going to have children. You know, I'm going to live a virginal life to give honor to God. So how can I do this? What do I need to do to cooperate with God? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She goes, okay, I fiat, let it be done as you say. There was no constraining of of Our Lady. She said yes, and she became Theotokos, Mother of God. He says, this greater outpouring of my love that's I'm giving to you, Louisa, is constrained by humanity. Unable to contain it any longer, Jesus says, I, God, now pour it out in torrents upon the soul who loves me. He's talking about Louisa. She gave everything. When Jesus said to her, you know, go to bed and stay there, she said, fiat. When Jesus says, stop eating, she said, fiat. Stop drinking, fiat. Stop sleeping, fiat. Put everything down on paper. She said, fiat. She wanted nothing of herself out there, but she did it in obedience, holy obedience. When the Lord asks us, are you willing to go through a little suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional? we plead with God, please help. You know, I don't want to go through this. The difference between us and Louisa is great. Louisa said, let it be done as you say. Now, when the Lord said, stop eating, do you think she just, I don't have to eat anymore, I'm fine? She was starving. She was starving. But she sacrificed that. Okay, Lord, is this what you're asking? I won't eat. When she stopped sleeping, she was exhausted. Read the hours of the Passion. She says, I can hardly stay awake. The hours of the Passion were at the beginning of her life. How can I stay awake to be with you, Lord? I'm exhausted. I'm sleeping. Please wake me up if I fall asleep. Her desire was to be one with God. Our desire, when God asks us, would you spend an hour with me? You know, we look at our watch. It's 57 minutes. I've got 3 minutes left. You know, it's like we should be so in love with God in front of the Blessed Sacrament that time doesn't mean anything. And you will experience this if you haven't already. An hour can seem like a minute. Why? You enter into that oneness with God where there is no time, there is no space. And you almost feel like you're invisible because of entering into this prayer. And again, but most people are just looking at their watch or reading something. I mean, it's not a place for reading. It's not a place for praying. It's a place for falling in love with God. Oh, I got to get my prayers in. I got to get my rosary in, you know, so I'll do it here. Well, we have to learn that Jesus has called us to be with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, so that we can really fall in love. It's not a place just to be a time clock. I punched in, I punch out. It's a place to fall in love with God. And that falling in love with God turns into ecstasy. That falling in love with God is the most beautiful experience that you can have. It's the ecstasy of love, like we were talking about St. Teresa, St. Catherine of Siena. This ecstasy of love is what God is at. He's offering this to us. Do you want what I want to give you? He says, I can't wait any longer. I want to pour out in torrents this infinite ocean of love upon you. You don't want to dive in. I want you to have this. You say you love me. I love you. And I'm going to show you, Jesus says, how much I love you. And that time alone with God is essential in the divine will. Again, you'll on the internet, you'll see Father Bucci showing the spot. This is where Louisa knelt as a little girl. There's a little square, you know, where she knelt was on the, it's you walk into the main altar, there's on the right, she knelt and there's a little square on the ground there. And now her tomb is there. Her tomb is, here she is kneeling, looking at Jesus in the tabernacle, but kneeling at the altar that was there, the side altar. And now where the side altar was is where her tomb is. You know, God has, he has such a way of helping us receive a joy, just knowing right here, you could kneel in the same spot where Louisa was. And now she's, her body is laid out in the tomb right next to it, near it, I should say. And you can be there with Louisa. As Louisa knelt here, you can kneel there. And again, you don't have to go to Corrado. It's wonderful when you do. But wherever you are, you're with Jesus. You're with Mary. You are at Calvary. You are at Bethlehem. You are at Cana. You know, everything that your memory becomes of Jesus and Mary through Louisa. It's a new, this torrent of love comes upon you. And Saint Francis even said, If you're praying and are not filled with joy and love, you're not praying. To be in the presence of God and to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him, to worship him, to just to be with him is the greatest joy, the greatest love that you can experience. So on volume 12, May 10th, 1919, my daughter, what are you doing? Louisa was told this by Jesus, because Jesus is saying that to us. What are you doing? I'm giving you the book of heaven. I'm giving you this opportunity to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. What are you doing? And he says, this is what happens with most of us. The thought of yourself makes you go out of my divine will. He says, you know, stop thinking about yourself. Now, in the house that I live in, my father's house, it's a small house. So I put up a lot of mirrors, and because it makes the house bigger. You know, I look at the mirror and I can see the lawn next door. I can see the hill next door. I put a mirror over here and I can see you. It just makes the house expand. And somebody once came up to me and they said, you must really love yourself. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, you got all these mirrors. I really don't look in the mirror at me. I look at the creation. I look at the light that's out there. I look at this life that our God wants us to enter into. When you look at yourself, Jesus says, you go out of your divine will. When you look at yourself, it doesn't mean you never look, but your goal is looking at Jesus. Your goal is living the life of Jesus, living the life of Mary. Jesus says, when you look at yourself, when you think of yourself, you go out of my divine will. Don't you know? Then that's another book that we just got done. Don't you know? And it's as good as do you know, and you must know. It's Jesus is teaching us. He's always teaching us that the divine life lasts in you as long as my divine will is in you. Okay. Now, each and every one of us has to go to confession because we leave the divine will. And when we think about when we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, when we're thinking about ourselves, we're outside the divine will. And Jesus says, don't you know that the divine life in you lasts as long as you remain in the divine will? He says, and as soon as my will ceases, the divine life, this fullness ceases and takes you back to your human life. So he says, you've got to understand this. When you think about yourself, it's not good. So how do we think about ourselves? You want to understand. Prove it to me. You know, make me aware. You know, it's like constantly saying to God, you know, I'm not satisfied. So what the Lord is looking for in us is fiat. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother is so powerful. How can I do this so that you can accomplish what you want in me? That's what she said. How can I become the mother of God? I've already life of virginity, vowed a life of virginity. I'm not going to know man. I'm not going to have children. How can I become the mother of God? What do I need to do? How can you help me do what God wants me to do? And he said, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing that Jesus says to us. How can I live in the divine will? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, volume 11 through volume 19. And that's not the end, though. He says, volume 20 through volume 36, now I want you to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. I want you, Jesus says, to begin to live divine life, not human life. Human life is fickle. Human life is, we're only here for a short time until we get the glorified body. And then we live the life, the true life of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the one that ascended into heaven, the resurrected life, if you want to say, of the Blessed Mother who was assumed into heaven. There's only two bodies in heaven, Jesus and Mary. There's two bodies in paradise. That's Enoch and Elijah. Everybody else's souls. And what Thomas Aquinas says is we are not spirits. We are human, which means we need a body and a soul. So even in heaven, you have two glorified bodies, but all the rest in heaven are spirits waiting for their body, waiting for their new body, the glorified body. So Jesus says, basically, He says, when you take back your human life, as soon as you start thinking about yourself, my divine will ceases. So we have to learn to say fiat. You got trouble? Fiat. You got joy? Fiat. You got rainy days? Fiat. You got sunny days? Fiat. It's everything has to be, yes, Lord, this is what you want for me. Fiat. Let it be done as you say. The fine exchange you make, he says, the same thing happens with obedience. As long as there is obedience, the life of the one who commanded lasts is the one who obeys. So what is this obedience to? This divine life that God is giving to us. He's proclaiming it to us as we read the testament of the kingdom. Were we reading this obedience that Jesus says, this is what I want you to have. I want you to have abundant life. What is abundant life? It's the true life of Jesus. It's a true life of Mary. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's been breathed into Louisa. He says, when you obey, as soon as your obedience ceases, you take back your human life, your human misery, your human life. When we go to confession, that's our human life. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. You know, I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid every near occasion of sin. Why? I want to live this divine life that you want me to possess. I don't want to live my human life. So what is our human will? It's what we say when we go to confession. If we're true, if we're honest. A lot of people, I mean, I've heard over and over again, I don't have any more sins. That makes God a liar. He came for sinners. Sin before him. As soon as we go to confession and we're full of grace, making a good confession, shortly after that, we're falling into our human habit again of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So Jesus says, as long as there's obedience, and the obedience that God is giving to us is through the words, the life, the light, the love that was given to Louisa in the Book of Heaven. He says, the life of the one who commands last is the one who obeys. And as soon as obedience ceases, as soon as we say, I don't need to listen to this, I'm going to be worried, I'm going to be fearful, I'm going to be anxious, I'm going to be complaining, I'm going to be negative, you're living in your human misery again. And you see, Jesus, he says, he shows us very clearly, if you're worried, it's because you're feeding the demon of worry. You're keeping it alive in you. If you're fearful, you're feeding the demon of fear. You're keeping it alive in you. You've got to starve these people out. When the Lord says to Louisa, stop eating, I think he's really directing us, no more worry. Stop feeding it. Let him starve. Let him be gone. No more fear. No more anxiety. No more complaints. No more negativity. It's Jesus is saying, starve these guys out of you. Begin to live a life of peace. That's reigning in you. Joy, that's reigning in you. Happiness, that's reigning in you. That's heaven. That's what God is waiting for. Oh, begin to obey Jesus when we read the Book of Heaven. And then how happy you're going to be, how joyful you're going to be. Again, volume 12, April 3rd, 1920. My daughter, my whole divine will in creating Adam was that Adam would do my will in everything. So he says, the doing is essential. So as he would continue to do my will, little by little, this is the great hope, I would complete my life in him. These are the little atoms that we begin to collect, if you want to say, building us up into that new and divine way of holiness. And as he continued to do my will, little by little, I would complete my life in Adam in such a way that after repeated acts, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, blink in my blinking, in my will, forming my life in him, I would come to him. And finding him similar to me as the sun, S-U-N, of my life, would find the sun, S-U-N, of my life formed in his soul. This, it's not a flame, but it's the sun, similar to God. And he says, and I would, as the sun of my life would find the sun of my life formed in his soul, it would absorb him within me, dissolve him, this fusing and diffusing, this drop of water into the chalice, this absorbing him within me as the two would become transformed together like two suns, S-U-N-S, in one. And then he says, I would bring Adam into the delights of heaven while on earth. That's what this is the new and divine way of holiness that's coming. So he says, now as the soul does not do my divine will, or if the soul does it every now and then, my life is halved by the human life and the divine life cannot be completed. Do you see why Jesus is saying, I'm looking for that complete desire to be one with him, to be fused with God? This is why he says, pray to be infused with God throughout the day. He says, every time you do this, you're receiving more light, more life, more love. It is obscured by the human acts if the divine life cannot be completed. And it does not receive the abundant food. This is the first bread, the bread of the divine will, sufficient to develop a life. Therefore, the soul is in continuous opposition to the purpose of creation. We've got to stop that. We've got to say, I don't want to oppose you in any way anymore. I want this fullness of creation to occur within me. Creation isn't completed yet. We haven't seen anything yet. We see what's out there, but the completion of creation is when we really begin to live in God's holy divine will, one with God, fused with God. This is the new and divine way of holiness. Jesus says, alas, how many are those who by living a life of passions, a life of sin, form the diabolical life within himself? It's got to stop. What's the diabolical life? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Not the peace, joy, and happiness. So Jesus says to Louisa, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell because you're living hell. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity are not part of what God wants for us, but peace, joy, and happiness is. Continue to read the writings of Louisa, and you'll be filled with such joy that no one will be able to ever take it away from you. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. We pray that this divine life, this divine will reign in us, that we'll be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.